All right, welcome. Good Wednesday, everybody. Reed Kerr here from readaboutit.com and also my TV column over at Examiner. Quick Justified podcast for you tonight. Getting into kind of late, so lots of things on my mind, some of which I will hit in the column up at Examiner, which you can find right here where you found the link. And you can always find my work and those links at readaboutit.com, readaboutit.com. Tonight, it was When the Guns Come Out for Justified, and that happened pretty early. And I think that's good. Justified has been, I don't want to say hit and miss for the first part of the season, but there were episodes where you could tell they were just setting something up. You know, it doesn't mean it was a bad episode. You just know, okay, payoff's coming somewhere down the line. Well, we start with the Oxy business and Harlan spawning its first murders right off the bat. And that kind of leads us into some things. One of the witnesses, one little thing about this, you know, the two hitchhiker slash prostitutes go in to get the Oxy and they're going to sex up the pharmacist for more. And then the guy with the shotgun comes in and kills one of them and kills the doc. And the other prostitute ducks underneath the desk and she is spared. Just like in The Firm, basically, if you're wondering where you saw that before. I don't know if that's a great lesson to teach, honestly. You know, remember, kids, when you're bartering sex for drugs, always make sure you can duck under the desk just in case somebody starts shooting. You know, that's not exactly the best thing to be teaching the children, please. But that's how it started. And you knew with all the sides involved with this, with Quarles, with Boyd, and with Limehouse, that things were going to start getting real. We saw a little bit of a head-to-head between Quarles and Boyd last week, and Quarles wanted to work together, and Boyd says, you're a carpetbagger, and get out. And carpetbagger is a Southern term that no one wants to be called in the South or coming to the South. So you know that's not going to work. Limehouse is the third party. He's on the outside. And we saw more of that from him when we got to the end of the episode. I'll get to that in just a second. But this whole episode to me was, you know, it was not really, not a lot happened directly, but a lot of things were set in motion. You know, we all thought, by watching this, that Quarles had made his move. And by the way, Quarles is very creepy, and he's a one-note character, really, but that one note is simply just evil. Whether he's murdering his business associates or raping that poor guy, and when you heard the noises, everyone thought that was rape. Raping that guy, he's got chained up in the bedroom. He's just a bad dude. He is so bad that other bad guys around him look like good guys. When Duffy, you know, who was a jackwagon in previous seasons, he looks like the voice of reason just because he doesn't have a guy tied up in his basement, you know? So he is the kind of absolute character that you just says, bad guy, right on him. Boyd is the sort of bad guy, still good guy, local guy. And as Raylan said to him tonight, I don't care what you do. As Raylan said, shit kicker on shit kicker crime is not what he covers, and he doesn't care. He just doesn't want it to happen in his Aunt Helen's house. So Boyd is the good bad guy, and Limehouse is on the outside. And there was kind of a twist in this one because we actually saw Limehouse at the end of the episode. We go the whole time thinking that Quarles was the guy that set all this up, and he claims he wasn't. You know, he could be lying. We get to the end, we find out It was Limehouse's henchman who actually put this thing in motion. And a very nice moment as Limehouse is angry at his henchman, not only for doing this without permission and for getting a prostitute killed. I guess the other two guys at the clinic he doesn't care about. But he's also upset because he doesn't want this coming down on them. And there's a racial component to that that is very appropriate. You know, when you talk about the area where they live, I forget what they call that, holler, but whatever, you know, that was, there's a lot of racial elements to it. And for a black guy like Limehouse, who is making barbecue and crime, he doesn't want people coming and wandering into his area that he has safe and secure. You know, he stays there, he's safe. He is the first bank of crime of Harlan County. If you step outside of that, then you run the risk of overstepping your bounds. And I love it. One thing I love about shows like this, when the bad guy's henchmen do something wrong and he doesn't kill them, you know, Limehouse's henchman did something wrong. He said, look, you're going to have to make this, you're going to have to take care of Trixie's family. You're going to have to make this right. You know, previous episode, the guy that ran the pawn shop, whatever his name was, the guy that ran the pawn shop was, you know, his guy screws something up and he shoots him. You really can't get away with that. You know, you just, it does, if you do that, then the next guy is certainly not going to back you. You know, it's going to be hard to get the local criminals to work for you if every time you do something wrong, you get shot in the head. You know, that's just not exactly the best way to engender respect from everyone else. So I like it when the bad guys are not just the one-note bad guys. Now, if you did something wrong for Quarles, he might kill, rape, and eat you, and not necessarily even in those in that order. So I don't know what's going on there. But all in all, the episode, a couple of things about it. Shotgun blast before the opening credits. That's a great way to get our attention. I loved, I don't think I ever say this, but I loved the pimp. Did you check out the pimp out in this one? The pimp is Delroy, who is William Mapother, who I didn't even know this, but is Tom Cruise's first cousin. I don't remember hearing that. I always remember him as Ethan on Lost. You know, Ethan, one of my favorite Lost characters. He was not around for long, but because he didn't make it early, various other things happened. So he was, you know, playing a redneck pimp. That's not on everybody's resume, but I thought it was pretty good. That aspect of it was good. Nothing really happened in terms of the bust at the OxyLab. Well, I say OxyLab. It is a legal thing. That sort of thing actually happens, but not the shooting, but the sale of pills to people who don't really need them. It is a thing. Look it up. Google it if you must. I did like the shootout in the moving room driving down the highway at 50 miles an hour. Thought that was pretty good. And the bad guy got away, so you've got something else in the future for that. But really, that was the only plot line in this show that came to any kind of a conclusion. Everything else is just pushed forward to next week, which is, if you're just watching this show, it's a little bit frustrating. If you're watching this later on the DVDs and you go right to the next episode, you know, it's fantastic. Yeah, for us, we got to wait another 6 days for it to come back and tell us what the next step is. But no, I thought it was a good episode, not a great one, but I certainly see where they're going for with this. And sometimes you've got to make one episode not as good overall, and it's part of a larger story arc. And I understand that. One thing I hope we're done with is the money in the evidence locker. I was very confused about that because Winona leaves him. He goes to check the money. The money is gone. But I come to find out the guy that runs the evidence locker, Charlie, has taken it. And when he sees Raylan checking it and he notices it's not there, well, Charlie takes off for Mexico. I hope that's the end of this because that was a plot line to me. I believe it was last season. Wasn't a great plot line. It didn't make a lot of sense that she would do something that dumb, but she did it. They worked their way through it. They figured out a way around it. Art may or may not have known about it. Didn't care. But Charlie's in Mexico now. Let's not continue that. Let's just make that an odd coincidence that the money was gone and Raylan went looking for it. And I hope that does not continue. Because that's really a red herring when all the action's going on in Harlan County. So just let him go. That's all I'm hoping for there. The other story, the thing that really came to a head in this episode, I guess, was Raylan and Winona. That appears to be over. And if you look at it, Winona's barely on the show this season. You know, the last episode of last year, I just felt like they were building up to her getting shot because it was on a lesser show, on a show that was not as well written as Justified, she would have gotten shot and killed because it seemed like that's what they were building up to. Like now she's pregnant, now they're going to be together, and here comes all the danger. Well, come to find out she didn't get shot. Ava got shot, which was, you know, a nice twist. Everybody survived, obviously, but I can see that. Winona is absolutely right. He's not changing. And the little twist that she ran away before and Art didn't even tell him, that was nice. It was nicely done. A little subtle, this is not out of the blue. You just were too busy with shooting people and getting shot. We didn't even bother telling you about it last time. Nicely done. Since he told her that they're going to get out of town, she's right. He's been shot. He was in the hospital, and he killed like the third guy in his motel room in the last 6 months or so, and she watched him kill him. That was the ice pick dude from the first episode. She's right, and she's pregnant now. I can see her wanting to bail on this. The thing is, I don't know now if her bailing on it actually gets her off the show, because Quarles, the bad guy, Quarles is now looking to get something up on Raylan. By the promos, it looks like they go after Arlo. It's going to be very interesting to see, because Arlo and Raylan obviously don't get along. They didn't get along well in this episode. They never have, but Arlo is still the father. If they go after Arlo, does Raylan react as a son? And I bet he will. But the other weak link in Raylan's life is Winona, who is now pregnant with his baby and moved out and is staying with the sister. I don't know where she goes from there, but that's just something that they kind of left out there. So all in all, thought it was a good episode. Not a great one, but I can see it as one in a sequence. You know, and as I said, if I was watching the next episode immediately after this, probably would make perfect sense. Not bad. I'd give rating it. We'll give it 6 out of 10 on this one. As part of the story arc, I'm really enjoying the season. We are at the point now where all the players are in place. Quarles is evil. Boyd is devious. And by the way, I like that Boyd did not immediately assume it was Quarles and go after him, because Boyd is the smartest man in Harlan, not wearing a badge, I guess you'd say. He, number one, didn't know it was Quarles. Number two, doesn't think he can beat Quarles at this point. Quarles is mafia. Quarles is out of town. You can call him a carpetbagger, but that doesn't mean that he won't come to town with deep pockets and lots of bullets. And Boyd is very realistic about his men, his power, as we saw in the last episode of last season, where he knows that Mags Bennett's men are coming after all of his men, so they rig up whatever they have to defend him. Johnny blows his own house up to kill a couple of guys, which I thought was overkill, but that shows you that Boyd is always a step ahead. With the scene in the bar earlier where the bar's guys pull guns on Boyd, and then Boyd's men pull their guns on the bar guys. Boyd's always a step ahead, so he's thinking. And I don't know how many men between Boyd and Johnny they can put together, but it's not that many. Arlo's too old to fight. They just killed Devil. I'm not sure how many guys are there. It's not really a good time to go to open war and go to the mattresses. So Boyd is staying calm. Come to find out, Quarles had nothing at all to do with this, which is a nice little twist. So Limehouse is there. Everybody is in place. I think now, as we start to hit the middle of the season, now things really have to start to happen. We've got enough set up. We've had our soliloquies where each villain got to spend 5 minutes giving a speech indicating how evil they were and what exactly kind of evil they were going to bring to the show. Now it's time for some of that to pay off. Now it's time for one side against the other. And here's my random prediction. From this episode, it seems like Quarles is talking about he thinks that Raylan is in Boyd's pocket, which is not true, obviously, but from the outside, based on the evidence he has, I can see how he'd make that conclusion. All we've seen on the promos for this season were the two of them fighting together against someone else, running into gunfire together, having each other's backs for things. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe that's what comes from this, is that the good and the bad of Harlan uniting to try to get rid of the out-of-town carpetbagger bad guys. Just a thought. That's what they've been giving us for the promos for 2 or 3 months before the season started. Just stands to reason we'd see that at some point. All right, 6 out of 10 on this episode. We'll be back next week with another one of these. If you enjoyed the podcast, drop me a line here at readaboutit.com or through Twitter. It's at readaboutit, REIDABOUTIT, or through Facebook also. Same thing at Facebook, readaboutit. Twitter. You can also do that over the Examiner column. If you enjoyed it, appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody.